Prison Radio on CQUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on www.cqut.ca on the World Wide Web. News, interviews, and music featuring the voices of prisoners, their allies, and supporters. Tune in to the Prison Radio Show on the fourth Friday of every month between 11 a.m. and noon, or on the second Thursday of every month between 5 and 6 p.m. To get involved in Prison Radio or finding help searching for past programs, email prison@cqut.ca.
Consider that part of your job, Harvey, to give a man back the dignity he once had? Your only interest is in how he behaves. You'll conform to our ideas of how you should behave.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You were a number. You weren't a name. You want to be a human. I wasn't Jim Crow. And hell, I was number 586.
Why do you do a warder's job?
It's a good job. Responsible job. Officers like myself trying to...
Scum.
We're only enforcing the law.
Oh, the law. The law. When they hang my husband, is that just...
You are listening to the Prison Radio Show here on CQUT. My name is Candace.
My name is Noah.
And we're your hosts for today's show. Today we'll be airing a pre-recorded interview with an as yet unnamed Transformative Justice Collective based in Berlin. We talked to them in February about what transformative justice means to them, what inspires them to practice transformative justice, and what their collective does. We'll also be hearing an interview with filmmaker Nika Kanjani about the movie that she made about her brother in prison in Texas titled Free World Pens. But first, a few news items.
As of April 16, 2015, at least four prisoners in Georgia State Prison in Reidsville are on hunger strike. They are demanding an end to the TEER program, which the prison system created in retaliation for widespread hunger strikes in Georgia prisons in 2010 and again in 2012. The TEER system is a way to grant and withhold privileges from prisoners. Letters and recordings from the hunger strikers can be found at http://atlanta.indymedia.org.
CBC News reported last week that several former inmates at the Southeast Regional Correctional Center were prevented from practicing their native spirituality and were denied visits from elders. The Southeast Regional Correctional Center is a provincial jail that was opened in 2012 in Shediac, New Brunswick, Mi'kmaq territory. According to an ex-prisoner from Elsipuktuk, 20 Indigenous prisoners signed two separate petitions to the jail's administration asking for the right to participate in native ceremonies while incarcerated. The jail administration did not respond to either petitions. Indigenous elders on the outside have also reported being denied access to the Southeast Regional Correctional Center.
Three anarchist prisoners in Chile have declared a hunger strike as of April 15, 2015. The three are demanding the immediate release of a recently arrested compañero, an end to assaults and disciplinary sanctions towards prisoners in struggle, the immediate transfer of hunger striker Natalie Casanova from solitary confinement to a, quote, ordinary prison wing, an end to the harassment of people who stand in solidarity with incarcerated comrades, and an end to DNA-based prosecutions. One of the hunger strikers is on total house arrest and not currently imprisoned. For more information, check out en.contrainfo.espiv.net.
April 24th, Friday night, 8 p.m., Sala Rosa. Join Missing Justice, Howl Arts Collective, CKUT, and a chorus of 42 amazing voices, all singing in support of missing and murdered Indigenous women. Featuring Ari Swan, Jessica Moss, and the Cœur Maha for one not-to-be-missed night of music and revelry. $10 suggests a donation at the door. See you there. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
The time is presently 11:06 a.m., and you are listening to the Prison Radio Show here on CKUT 90.3 FM, 90.7 on cable, and CKUT.ca online.
What you're about to hear is an interview with two organizers in Berlin. They are part of an as-yet-unnamed collective that works on transformative justice issues and community accountability processes. For those of you who are new to the subject, transformative justice is a way of practicing alternative justice which acknowledges individual experiences and identities and works to actively resist the state's criminal injustice system. Transformative justice recognizes that oppression is at the root of all forms of harm, abuse, and assault. As a practice, it therefore aims to address and confront these oppressions on all levels and treats fighting oppression as an integral part to accountability and healing. In this interview, folks in Berlin talk about why and how they practice transformative justice and share the struggles they have encountered in their organizing.
We are from the Berlin-based Transformative Justice Collective, although admittedly, we actually have never come up with an official name, and we're constantly having like funny little arguments about what our group name should be. So we are the not yet named Community Accountability Transformative Justice Group.
Yeah. And we are existing since more than 3 years now, and started as a, we wanted to have a network meeting about this topic, and we all felt the need of having a group, so we started a group. And also that's why all people are really also having other processes on groups and contacts where they're working about all these connected topics, and we're coming together and learning.
I can say from my perspective, I was introduced to community accountability, transformative justice concepts in the U.S. where I grew up and where I was kind of politically socialized, and was introduced to that through working in a more conventional anti-violence organization, but with people who are really radical, visionary people who kind of put insights work on my desk and in front of my eyes. And then I moved to Berlin 7 years ago and started talking with people about this and doing workshops. And kind of slowly we built a network of people who were coming to this. Most of the people in our group all have background in anti-violence work, like support work, education work, social work. And we came together to kind of learn. And I think we've built a pretty cool group. We're doing more and more stuff in the city. I think each of us kind of works on our own projects sometimes, and then we come together to do things together as well, like workshops.
Is there a baseline of like definitions of transformative justice that you all have come up with together that sort of form like a basis of unity of sorts for this kind of work together?
I would say like that transformative justice has a focus, like for me, has a focus of work with perpetrators or person who caused harm. And for me, it's the transformation of shitty behavior is like the most important thing of this, and also taking the responsibility for the, I don't know, for what you did and
harmful behavior. It's interesting because we kind of came together in this like network idea, sort of like, hey, we all do work in different contexts that's dealing with violence, and we want to have a more transformative, radical, critical approach. I don't think we ever sat down and really hashed out like, this is what these words mean for us, which is funny because I feel like a lot of work in Berlin is very theoretical. Like you do the theory first and then you do the praxis. It's a bit opposite to my experience in the States. I think we're like constantly trying to, we're constantly testing things out. And I feel like we're always kind of also experimenting. Like there's some principles that I think we all kind of understand with transformative justice. Like we're trying not to use shame. We're trying not to use punishment. We're trying, you know, not to use the state and the and prison system. And we have critiques of the racism and the heterosexism and of all of those systems. But I think for us, there's like a very experimental learning character to what we're doing. And there's like differences of opinion in the group, which I actually really appreciate. So
I think it's a term that is taking a lot of things in there, so that we have also different like perspectives from different groups that wrote something about it. And it's different when we're like having a discussion inside the group about it, or when I give a workshop, for example, then I like sum it up a little bit. But I think it's also a process in finding out what it means. It's like the process of transformation also included.
So you mentioned this a little bit already in terms of saying that people are mostly coming from anti-violence work backgrounds, but do you two want to talk a bit more about what drew you guys to this kind of process and what inspired this project to get started? Like, why focus on transformative justice in the first place?
I think Malin did a lot of workshops in Berlin, and a lot of people were really interested in it. And somehow the idea of this network meeting came out of the workshop, I think. And so we just started with it, and that were also the point where we have the connection that there is anti-violence work in Germany and in German context, but it's different. And we wanted to also like discuss the what can we learn, what do we have here, and what kind of discussions and practice in German context.
A lot of what we've been working with is the question of translation. And I think this is even the basic reason why we don't completely have a name as a group yet, because we're still really struggling to find out how you translate the words transformative justice and community accountability into German. And it's not just a language problem. It's also like a problem of, we're working with these concepts that were developed in from different communities than the ones that we're currently finding ourselves in, or partly different communities, in really different social conditions around the situation of mass incarceration in the US versus the prison system in Germany, which remains, I think in many ways still like a very rehabilitative system and a very paternalistic system, and has a bit of a different social function than mass incarceration, and has like a much smaller population behind bars. And I think also a really different history of what you were talking about, Miri, like a really different history of the feminist movement and of the anti-violence movement. I have the sense in Germany that a lot of anti-violence work was never institutionalized into a kind of nonprofit industrial complex in the way that it was in the US. And a lot of it is still happening in self-organized structures. And there's beauty to that. And there's also a lot of struggle because people are isolated and underfunded and undersupported. So I think a lot of our work has been figuring out what the impulses of transformative justice, I think we all feel, are kind of universal. And I think even within transformative justice, those impulses aspire to be universal. This idea that like everyone can transform and everyone has the potential to harm and the state is just a bad idea. But I think we're still figuring out what that means for our context.
Are there other groups doing similar things in Berlin? Are there other groups doing similar things in other parts of Germany? What are the reference points for these kinds of ideas, if you want to elaborate a bit more on that? And what kind of broader communities is this group happening in? You mentioned like a anti-violence community, a feminist community. I don't know if there's any other groups that you haven't mentioned that are also involved in this kind of work now.
Yeah, we are networking with one organization also. They do community-based anti-violence work in LGBTI context and of color also. It's like part of the lesbian counseling in Berlin. They also like working with this concept. There are feminist structures, but most of them are like based on other terms and other concepts. And I think it's also like sometimes part of it that there is a transformation or like a work with a perpetrator, but it's not like in focus how it is with transformative justice. So it's really hard to say there are these and that groups that are really working with it in German context.
Yeah, I think you threw out some of, or you repeated back to us, some of the terms like anti-violence, feminist, queer feminist, and very much I think a lot of our work has happened to be in a radical leftist scene as well. And it's interesting. I feel like I've given workshops in a lot of different contexts, and you can see based on the community that it's in which part of the concept is more intuitive for them and which part is less familiar. So you've got some radical leftists who are really against prisons, maybe in a theoretical way, or maybe from lived experience of being in jail or in prison. And that part of the concept is really appealing or makes a lot of sense to them. But maybe they haven't thought a lot about sexual violence and the different systems of oppression that create that. And then, you know, in a queer feminist scene, people who've thought a lot more about violence, but maybe have mixed thoughts about the issue of police and prisons.
Academia.
Yeah, we've definitely also been invited to do quite a bit from like university student groups and things like this. So, and I think we're also aware that there are like communities that our group members are a part of, but we're not organizing in them yet. So I think that like right now, I feel like a lot of our organizing happens in certain kinds of communities that tend to be more white or like well-educated. And I think that we've been thinking a lot about and also building a lot of networks and relationships to kind of move also in different communities in ways that are like respectful and appropriate. I think the other thing I wanted to point out is that I think when we talk sort of about the local context in Berlin, like where transformative justice fits in is mostly, I think, that there's been a huge amount of debate and discussion and struggles within the feminist scene and the wider leftist scene around the issue or this concept that was sort of developed from the German feminist community called Definitionsmacht, or power of definition. And it's very much, as I understand it, a principle of being in solidarity with survivors of violence and supporting them and believing them. But it's also very much grounded on the idea that, like, only survivors of violence can define for themselves what violence is, and that we have to, like, accept and believe and support their definition. And I think that for different reasons, that principle has been kind of caught and gnarled up in a lot of knots and a lot of questions. I think some of those questions have to do with what another community accountability activist I talked to once called, like, they called it the three-dimensionality of experience. So dealing with the fact that, like, two people can share the same lived experience and define it radically differently. And I think another issue that this Definitionsmacht concept has faced, or a place where there's been a lot of discussion, is about that I think the concept was really developed within hetero contexts. And it was really thinking about situations in which there was at least the idea that there was only one kind or one direction of violence and oppression happening, and primarily of violence by cis men against cis women. And we found that in a lot of the queer feminist communities we've been working in, that there's a lot more, much more awareness of complex relationships of oppression and violence. And so those are scenes, I think, especially in the queer feminist scene, there's been a desire to talk about transformative justice in order to deal with these complexities. Yeah, so I think that's one place where transformative justice has shown up a lot. But as we talked about, it's often shown up as, like, this idea from somewhere else, like, oh, wow, these brilliant women of color from the US are going to solve all of our problems here in Berlin with our, like, theoretical stuff. And I think we've always really shied away from that and have, I think, been focused a lot more on trying to just develop practices of transformative justice on a small scale, instead of being like, look, we've got the theoretical solution to all of our theoretical problems. So I don't know if any of that's intelligible or if all of that sounds like scene inside scene gobbledygook that makes no sense. But I think that's the context in which we're working, really, definitions about what is violence. And community accountability has really opened up that conversation to think more about structural violence as violence and oppression as violence. And how do we think all of those things together without hierarchizing one form of violence over another? So,
yeah. And about this power of definition, also, like, there started to be, like, what is the better concept thoughts in in discussions. And I think that for me, it's, like, different also, like, what is, like, the basic thought about it, or what is, like, the practical stuff that's coming out there. Yeah, I think it's always a struggle of, like, what are we talking about, and it's never clear. And there are people that feeling it in a different way, that's more my way, maybe, of dealing with violence. But there are people that are doing it in a way that I'm not really able to work with. There's also, like, this thing that letting survivors alone with the, like, single experience of violence and not seeing a, like, bigger context.
You're listening to an interview with a collective that practices transformative justice in Berlin. For more information on the collective, you can check out transformativejustice.eu. You're listening to the Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Maybe to talk about some of the more concrete stuff that you guys are doing, we can get into this question of what do you find challenging? And it can be like, what do you find challenging about this project of transformative justice in general, but also what do you find challenging about accountability processes? What do you find challenging about talking about these different ideas to different groups of people? And then also what keeps you involved in this kind of work?
There are so many challenges. I'm, like, just mulling on them all the time. But more specifically about our practices, I think, as I said, all of us are involved in different stuff. So some of us have been involved in concrete cases. So some people have been doing support work on a specific case of violence. others of us right now are working on an accountability process with a person who's caused harm, who's actually not from our community, not even from our city, but we were asked from somebody in another part of Germany if we would be willing to meet with the person regularly and foster a kind of transformation process. And I think for me, I've been guided in that process by the work of Philly Stands Up and Support New York, and also, you know, the grounding principles of like Insight and community, Insight Women of Color Against Violence and Communities Against Rape and Abuse, CARA. So those kinds of concepts, like what Philly Stands Up does, is where you meet with someone regularly for like a couple of years and actually work with them on their issues, on their patterns, on their, kind of also doing a bit of political education about gender, race, class, oppression, how different dynamics are playing out in their lives in terms of consent, communication, anger, respect, all of those things, relationships to pleasure, stuff like that. That's, I think, a big praxis for us. As a group, we also organized a prison abolition retreat with different groups, especially groups moving in queer feminist communities, talking about prison abolition. And I think that's a place that we really want to do more with, more like concrete organizing or things like campaigns. I don't know yet. And then we're always doing workshops. Like we're always being asked to do workshops, and more we're being asked to do workshops in contexts where there's a concrete case of violence and the community around that situation is confused, is reacting in like shitty and supportive ways and needs help around that. And those tend to show up more in groups where there's already a pretty clear community. So maybe it's like a house where everybody lives together and understands themselves as part of a house community, or it could be within a political group. Those are the communities that we've often been asked to do work in. And I think I at least also have the interest, as I said before, in working with differently organized communities or communities who understand themselves more, maybe less in a fixed structure. And I think that's already one of the challenges I can name that I've found is like, how do we define a community? And communities overlap. And how do we figure out who belongs to the community? Who's a stakeholder? Who needs to be at the table when having these discussions? You know, I think we're at the point where we're doing much more of what I might call, in quotation marks, a bit ironically, but like consulting, like more like people will come to us and be like, we're trying to organize something. Can you help us out? Can you give us some ideas? As a group, I think we would really like to move towards doing full accountability processes, like supporting communities through a full process. But we ourselves are still getting our footing in that. So we're doing a lot of learning from other people who've kind of fumbled their way through this in a very self-organized and kind of improvised way. Yeah, and I think all of those questions come up for us. Like, how do you define the community? Who needs to be at the table? What's the right steps? Where are the limits? I think that's a big question that I have. And I know a question that comes up also a lot in the work with perpetrators is, what is the place for compassion and where is a place for anger? And how do we balance those feelings and those impulses?
Yeah, I think like challenging really like long-term processes with no end and a lot of people working like in one case, I have the impression that a lot of people are working that because they want to have a change, or like we want to have a change, and like the person who crossed boundaries is the person who's working the less. And I think that's really challenging, like what I'm doing when I don't see what I want to see, and where's the point of saying no, we stop it, and when and why and how. And I think the long-term things are the more frustrating things and things that are not working out. Workshops, I really like workshops. That's something where I have the impression people are able to learn in a different way than normally about violence.
One of the things that inspires me the most is that going into spaces where you can feel that people and relationships have been kind of broken down by experiences of violence. And there's people seem like really thankful for these ideas. And I feel constantly really thankful for these concepts in my life, like in all different parts of my life, not just related specifically to violence. And I have the feeling that there's a weird way in which we have contact with people or communities sometimes when they're like falling apart and in crisis. And that's one of the hardest moments, to be like, no, like community and connection is the answer. Like, well, that's what we want to build, because people feel so betrayed by that or let down by that.
Mm.
But at the same time, I'm really touched by the energy that people get from the concept and the way that it allows them to have some kind of hope for living their lives or building their communities differently.
I was thinking, what kind of feedback have you received from your communities about this project? You guys have talked about positive feedback. I wonder if maybe you could talk a bit more about some of the more critical feedback that you guys have gotten and what that has felt like.
I mean,
critical.
One of the more interesting experiences that we had was we were organizing for this prison abolitionist retreat, and it wasn't a fully open organizing process because we were actually asked by another group to give a workshop for them. And then we decided to kind of open up that workshop to other related groups that we knew of working on this issue. So it was a bit of like, it was a bit of a like friends of friends kind of setting. For me, that was of concern. And I was interested in reaching out and kind of organizing a bit differently. And one of the groups that we reached out to was a group of refugee women. And we had a conversation with them about, you know, having a community-supported approach that's critical of the state and critical of the police. And part of the response that came out of that conversation was really hearing loud and clear from women who have no legal status that they want legal status and that they want police protection. And that that's something, that's one of their concerns. And that I think for me, it was very clear in that moment, the kind of bitter irony of taking a concept that was developed from women of color in the US and transporting it here to a German context and working on it in different communities that are in many ways much more privileged. And I think we've tried to do that in ways that are accountable and thoughtful. But at the same time, that having that interaction with other women of color for me was a reminder of the need for this concept to not be theoretical and to not be, like I said, an answer coming from elsewhere, but to really be like a set of impulses and questions that should guide the organizing that we're already doing with each other and the relationship building that we're already doing with each other. And that's part of why, for me, the critique of the state or the critique of prison and police is something, I don't think that we can afford to be absolutist about it. I think that we have to recognize that there are reasons in the short term to fight for reformist goals about changing the way that police and courts handle sexual violence or the ways that they treat undocumented people. And I don't see those things as contradictory, actually, to a long-term transformative justice vision. But in that moment, I was aware that those vocabularies were so far apart and those lived experiences were so far apart that it didn't feel like we were sharing, or I didn't feel like I was sharing a common struggle with those people in that moment. And I think that was, for me, a bit of a reality check about, as I said, the need to translate this concept into our local context in ways that makes sense and is really grounded in people's local and immediate struggles and allows us to ask questions that help us imagine beyond what stands right in front of us and what are the immediate things we need to fight for our and other people's survival.
And you also talked about this like situation when people want to get an answer, how they do it. And I think that's also a really strange situation when you're like showing that there are different tools and that there's a long way to go and a lot of work, and people need simple things that are not a lot of work, and like it's also a kind of like not taking the responsibility you have, but talking about it. And I think that's also something that after workshop people saying it, but how is it now, and how I'm doing it now. And we talked all the time about like how we make safe spaces and how people can define violence and all these issues, and it's like part of a process already, and people are not like, seeing it or saying like, but where's the concept? It's also fitting to what Melanie said in the beginning, that a lot of discussions are really theoretical, or people maybe need theories for saying that it's a good concept. I don't know. There's also like different political practices and communities that are open or not so open to this topic in general in Berlin.
I feel like people, in some contexts, people had a really strong reaction to like the utopianism of the vision, a positive or a negative reaction. And I think a really interesting thing has, another word that's been a bit difficult for us to translate is the word community. Because I have the feeling that it somehow doesn't translate well into German. I guess one of the reasons is that one of the words you could use for community in German is Gemeinschaft, which has a little bit of like a Nazi, some kind of like Nazi ethnic community flavor to it. I mean, I think this is a whole other issue that I may have already mentioned before that's interesting for me as a not German person, is that one of the things I find really interesting about doing this work in Berlin is talking to people about issues of transformation and of working with people who have been labeled as bad people, basically. And I have the sense that the history of the radical left in Germany has been one very intense, or a series of intense long struggles, particularly against fascism and against Nazis, and not just like post-Holocaust, or not just like World War II, but like continuing like Nazi structures that continue to exist and threaten people's lives even now. I mean, there's all this stuff in the news right now about Pegida and the like rising anti-Muslim racism going on around us. And so I find it really interesting to ask all those questions about guilt and forgiveness and shame and punishment in this context. And it's funny because I bring it up sometimes with some people and they're like, and I'm always like, yeah, I feel like we're kind of swimming around in like the post-Holocaust, you know, all of the weird shame and guilt that German people have from not really having any kind of healthy accountability process about that. And some people are like, oh, yeah, that's true. And other people are like, oh, I don't see that at all. So, you know, it might just be me as an outsider. But it definitely comes up. I mean, even the word survivor in German is pretty much a word that's reserved for Holocaust survivors. So we use a different word to talk about people who've experienced sexual violence. So for me, it's just those traces of that context are there, and it leads to a different set of... I feel that there are people who are really resistant to the idea that people can change and that we can reintegrate people into our communities. And I think that in the US, a lot of this concept was coming from people who are living in communities where criminalization has been used to label certain bodies, people of color, poor people, African Americans in particular, as criminal and bad. And I think that's certainly happening in Germany as well, but that's the people that we're working with are not living through those experiences. And I think that in the US, the prison abolition movement brought a lot of empathy towards people who've been demonized and excluded from society and labeled as bad. And I don't feel that empathy in political radical leftist communities in Berlin. I feel that there's a lot of policing and a lot of DIY policing and surveillance behavior that goes on in our communities that we really need to have a conversation about, actually. So, yeah, that's another thing I find challenging, I guess.
Okay, my last question is, where do you see this project going in the future? And you can talk about that in either a short-term, medium-term, long-term kind of way. It doesn't matter to me, but just ideas for the future.
I think we have a lot of different ideas, and sometimes we like just dreaming. I think we have we need also to organize our process as well and learn from all of them. Yeah, we're in different topics and networks and focuses, and I think we need to find or discuss structures all the time, and finding the best way of not losing any of them. Yeah, and also starting maybe new projects and rediscussing the workshop concept is one thing we are doing. And in the first time, we had a focus really much on interpersonal violence, and now we want to have more also the state violence aspect of all the power structures, and surviving with the project is also really important.
For myself, I mean, I was thinking about all of these dilemmas and challenges of the work for a long time, and then I decided to go back to school and to get a master's in gender studies and to do research where I was interviewing other people that do community accountability work. And we as a group had actually kind of already had some informal conversations with other activists, more just out of a sense of hey, we don't know what we're doing. What are you doing? And them being we don't really know what we're doing either, so let's talk about it. For me, then it turned into a research project. That's also been a way for our group to be kind of accountable to the activists who have more experience and who really are the founders of this work and this idea. Because we're kind of, sometimes I feel we're just a little satellite floating off in space, and we're not so connected. So that's a way for us to become connected. And I think through the project, when I think about where is this going, I also think about the question of where is the movement going? Where is transformative justice as a movement going? And so some things that come into my mind are that Insight Women of Color Against Violence is doing their Color of Violence conference in Chicago at the end of March. And that's really a moment of assessing 15 years of experimentation and discussions and practices. And I think my sense from the discussions that I've had with different activists, mostly from the U.S., is, that the movement's really at a phase of, gathering information, exchanging ideas, figuring out, oh, we tried this, you tried that, what worked, what didn't work. And I think there's also a lot of frustration about the gaps between the utopian vision of the community that recognizes violence and takes action, and the realities of people being recalcitrant and denying violence, or communities just, even if people do seem to care, communities that fall apart or that can't get it together to kind of coordinate and function as democratic units. And I think a big question that came up for me a lot at the end of the research is, what is this vision of community? Are we trying to replace the state? Are we trying to replace the criminal legal system? Are we trying to replace all of its practices? And then that raises issues. Do we think about fairness and due process for people causing harm? How do we assess violent situations? Can we make hierarchies? How do we determine what kinds of what kinds of responses to people causing harm are appropriate? Is it possible that there are responses that are too, allow the person causing harm too much excusing of their behavior? Is there approaches that are too harsh? So I think the problem is that a lot of times we're still measuring ourselves against, or I feel I don't have the vocabulary to think beyond the criminal legal system yet. And I think that's what I see all of us struggling to do, is to reimagine something beyond this. Okay, well, we replace the judge with the community, and we replace the this with the that, because it's clearly something more radical and visionary than that.
That was an interview with two activists in Berlin who work on issues of transformative justice and community accountability. For more information about what they do, visit transformativejustice.eu. For more information on transformative justice more broadly, you can check out the work of some of the organizations who were named in the interview, including Insight Women of Color Against Violence, Communities Against Rape and Abuse, also known as CARA, Generation 5, whose mission is to end child sexual abuse within five generations, as well as Philly Stands Up. The time is presently 11:45 a.m., and you are listening to the Prison Radio Show on SKUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on cable, and SKUT.ca.
Oh, I sighed, I ride that black woman a little. Oh, pardon, no, but I believe I go myself. Oh, the letter too slow. Telegram, make it loud.
Too slow, boy, too slow.
Oh, I sought for that woman yesterday. Oh, I know, yes, she come today.
Come today.
Oh, you know I think about that woman, boy, when she go away.
Go away, good buddy, go away.
I went to the commissary laughing, boy. You know, I come back crying. Yeah, you ain't too paying for them stockings. Whoop, I know that you've been by.
Been by.
Oh, look at you, pretty baby. What a fix you got me in.
Oh, got me in a bad fix, my boy. Bad fix,
yeah. Well, I'm down here in Louisiana on this L.A. pen.
Going back home.
Oh, getting cloudy. Cloudy, boy, and it look like rain.
Oh, look like rain, look like rain.
Whoa, before this time, another year.
Before this time, another year,
buddy. Whoa, I may be rolling, but I won't be here. Oh, if I had a know that the balls were so mean. Whoa, good buddy, I never would have left out of New Orleans. Whoa, when I get my new house built, whoa, baby, build my chimney up high, yo.
High,
well, so the rats were coming down the chimney. Whoa, chimney, putting out my fire. Whoa, 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 whoa. Trouble, 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 but it's all in the world I see.
All in the world I see, oh boy.
Whoa, I'm cleaning this highway, highway, but wondering what's gonna be come of me.
Come of me, come of me.
Have you ever been mistreated? You know just what I'm talking about. I've worked 5 long years for one man. Said he had the nerve to put me out. I finally learned a lesson, you know, a long time ago. The next man I marry, he got to work and bring me some gold. I've been mistreated, you know just what I'm talking about. I worked 5 long years for one man, and he had the nerve to put me out. I got a job in a sawmill, truck and steel like a slave. 5 long years every Friday, I went straight home with all my pay. I've been mistreated, you know just what I'm talking about. I worked 5 long years for one man, then he had the nerve to put me out.
Thank you.
You are still listening to the Prison Radio Show here on SKUT 90.3 FM. That was the B-sides with a song called My Brother, which is a song about missing your brother. Before that, we heard two songs that were recorded at the Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. We heard Five Long Years by Odeya Matthews, and we also heard Cleaning This Highway, sung by Willie Raffis, Andy Mosley, and Johnny Butler, and those songs were from the 1950s.
To check out past episodes of the Prison Radio Show, you can go to prisonradioshow.wordpress.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Prison Radio Show. The next Prison Radio Show will air on Thursday, May 14th at 5 p.m. If you have any questions on anything that you've heard on today's show, or if you wish to be involved with the show, feel free to contact us at prison@ckut.ca. Formerly incarcerated people are encouraged to participate. Folks can also leave a message on our listener comment line at 514-448-4041, extension 2547. If you're in prison, we encourage you to participate in the show in any way possible. Feel free to write us at The Prison Radio Show, or simply write PRS, care of CKUT, 3647 University Street, Montreal, Quebec, postal code H3A2B3. Thanks for tuning into the Prison Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name's Noah.
And my name is Candace.
And we've been your hosts for today. Please stay tuned.